Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, as we look at these, see what Paul had to say to the church at Galatia. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us pray. Father, as we've read these scriptures this morning, we pray now that you will speak to our hearts. We pray, Father, that you will help us out to know that we cannot live a Christian life without you. But we need you each and every minute of the hour to draw closer to you. Thank you for letting us be seeds that have grown. And as we grow, that we may produce and other seeds may grow. Father, let our ears be attentive now to your word. Let us be touched. Let us be moved. Let us be charged and ready to take up the call to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. In your name we pray. Amen. There's a story about a little girl that was 4 years old named Deborah who was helping her father plant seeds in a garden one sunny afternoon. As the little girl worked alongside her father in the garden, he began to explain to her about sowing and reaping. From two or three beans, he says, that we put into the soil, we'll probably harvest dozens of beans. A few weeks later, the little girl's grandmother sent her a pair of hand-knitted mittens. It was too warm for the mittens for that day, but she went ahead and put them on anyway. Later on that afternoon, when she came inside, her father noticed those mittens were not on her hands, and he asked her, Deborah, where are those mittens Grandma sent you? And she said very excitedly, I planted them. I planted them because when they come up and out of the garden, I will have lots of mittens. I'm trying that this week. The kids with the mission decorated my room and they left me a little pot. And in that pot is some sticks that are sticking up, and there's some Milky Ways, and there's some Snickers, and a couple other types of candy bars. And I'm going to see if those seeds will grow. And I'm excited too because I love candy bars, and I would love to see them triple in size, but I doubt if they will. But this is exactly what we're talking about. This month we have been concentrating on harvest. The one word that would be a theme is harvest. This is the time of the harvest. If you'll notice, farmers are out harvesting their crops during these times of the seasons. They have to get them in. I shared with you my uncle, and I can remember many times when we went down to see them on weekends that he would not be around any time because he would be out in the fields harvesting the crops that needed to be brought in. Last week we talked about the rotten crops, the rotten harvest. Those that happen that if you do not bring them in, what happens to them? They stay on the vine too long, what happens to them? They will rot. And if we let the people in this world go too long without the seeds and the harvest, what will happen? The prayer last week was not for the harvest, but for the laborers. We talked about this morning in the early service, the people that it takes in order to do that service. As you look around in this service this morning, it takes a lot of people to do a worship service. We have people that practice in the choir loft, that sing. They just don't reach in a hat, although sometimes they may want to reach in a hat and pull out today's song. They practice those weeks in advance because Sarah has picked them out. Jimmy has them to play and to practice. We have people that take up the offering and know what to do with it. We have a person that preaches. We have people that shake hands and help in any way we can. We have unseen people that are working in the nursery, in Splash, and Junior Splash. And it takes lots of people. Sometimes I don't see you, and I'll say, well, I didn't see you last Sunday. Well, I was in the nursery. Or I was doing this or that, and that is great. It takes a lot of people to come together for a worship service. And it takes every one of us to do it. And as we grow, we find out that we have these growing pains, and it's the harvest that we're talking about. We need more workers, not just more harvest. The harvest is plentiful. It's out there. But what we need is the workers. And many times, we're just like this little girl in this story. We misunderstand what it means to plant and to harvest in our lives. And that's what I want us to see this morning in the next few minutes, is how that we can understand that. As we think about that, we see that if you want to grow crops, it takes time. You plant, and then after it's planted, you can't do much with it until what? It begins to sprout up. Now, I remember in high school, and yes, for those younger ones, that was many moons ago, but I can still remember it. But I can remember when we did in science class, we would take and we would plant little seeds in a little cup of dirt. And we would cover it up. And every so often, she would say, now you have to water it. And eventually, you would look and something little green would all of a sudden pop out of it. And a little bit longer, a little bit more, and a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, there was a straight branch sticking up out of it, and it was green. Now, I also learned that if you water it to death, it will die. I can kill anything. That's probably why I'm not a farmer, and that's probably why I don't raise gardens, and that's probably why my wife tells me to stay away from all her flowers. Because she wants them to live. But you see, it takes time. They say that if you want to have fresh avocado, it takes 7 years from the time that you plant it till the first year it produces. Have you ever planted a cherry tree or an apple tree? The next year you didn't have apples on it and you thought something was wrong, didn't you? But it takes time for it to do what? To grow, to become able to produce. In our lives, folks, God has planted a seed within us. Our parents, our Sunday school teachers, our pastor, people have had an influence on us. Paul says, some had planted, some watered, and some reaped the harvest. We have had a little bit of that. My parents made sure I went to church. John Price was a Sunday school teacher when I was in Sunday school and an RA teacher that influenced my life. There were many. Howard Pilkey was one that when I went back to God, when I was under conviction and I put God first in my life again, he was the one that was there to help me grow and help me along. And then God took him to be home and left me without him to be on my own. So you see, we can look back in all our lives and see that somebody has taken that seed that was within us and helped it grow. And that is our job today, is we are to help plant seeds. We are to help grow. And reaping, we see that we're supposed to. A young man came to a 90-year-old man and he said, how have you managed to live so long and be so well? And the old man took the youngster to an orchard and he pointed to some large trees that were apple trees. And he said, I planted these trees when I was a boy. And do you wonder that now I am permitted to gather the fruit of them? We gather in the old age what we plant in the youth. I remember in Proverbs, train up a child. I remember my rebellion from my parents. When I went into the military, I didn't have my parents. They couldn't be on the ship with me. They were not allowed. In boot camp, I was simply told by my leader, I am your parents. I am your mother. I am your father. And he went to the extreme to say, I am your God. And you know, he could replace most of that. But God was not something he could replace. But you know, with the training that I had from my parents, from those that I just mentioned to you that helped me along the way, when I did take the wrong road, their influence, their prayers, their support, their love helped me to get back on the right track, down the right road. And when I finally made that realization and when I turned to that right road, when I moved to that road and rededicated my life and put Christ first in my life again, guess who was there? Those people. They were right there with me. And that's what it's all about. That is what we're talking about, sowing the seeds. And if we don't do it with our children today, look at how many kids that we see where parents are leaving their children at free clinics overseas and even here. How many kids are raising themselves, latchkey kids. Some of them don't even know who their parents are. If they do, they don't see them but just a little bit. What kind of training are they getting? That's why it's so important for us as church to plant seeds. That's why we have things like Vacation Bible School. That is why we have Sunday School. That is why we have events, is to bring children in, to bring people in, to begin to plant the seeds so that when they grow, they can come to great people. In my home church, we started a bus ministry not too long after that became popular. We bought a number of the old school buses and repainted those school buses and put our name on the side of it. And we had about 12 different routes in Hampton that we went, and we picked up kids in the neighborhood. We had just one boy that we picked up. Every Sunday he was there. Every Sunday he was waiting for the bus. He came to Sunday school and church. He accepted Christ, and our pastor baptized him. We continued to pick him up. When he got his driver's license, guess what he did? Rode the bus. Why? He knew those people. He had grown up in that bus. Not too many years after that, he came forward a second time to let the church know that not only had he accepted Christ and had been baptized, but now God was calling him into the ministry to preach. Now, where would that young man be today if we had not planted seeds, if we had not fertilized it and watered it and helped him along the way? What happens when we get out of the seed business? What happens? If seeds are not planted, how will they grow today? And as this old man showed him, we see that we most. Fred Islands made this statement, and I think it is very appropriate. Most of us spend the first 6 days of the week sowing wild oats. Then we go to church on Sundays and pray for a crop failure. Folks, we can't act the way we want to all week long and come to church and think everything is going to be right. That's not how it works. God didn't say just come to church and forgive and ask for forgiveness and I give it. But he says what? We are to act that way each and every day of our lives. In Matthew 17:20, he says, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for God. When I read that last part, nothing will be impossible for God. Folks, do you remember the beginning of the earth? God said what? Let there be an earth. Let there be mountains. Let there be valleys. Let there be water upon it. He spoke it and it was done. And this is what he's saying. A mustard seed is so tiny you can't hardly hold it in your hands. But when it grows, it becomes a great tree that does what? Shades you. It gives places for the birds to perch. And he says, unless we have faith like that, we are just a little seed, but our faith needs to be as big as a tree when it grows. And here's what St. Augustine of Hippo said. God does not expect us to submit our faith to him without reason, but the very limits of reason make faith a necessity. Who among us can go? How many times have we said, I just don't know how a non-Christian can make it through this situation? I don't know how a person that is a non-Christian can make it through a death, through a surgery, through chemos and all of this. I don't understand how a person can go through it without Christ. But if we don't have the faith, we're not any different, are we? We can say we're Christians, but if we don't believe in God, if we don't trust in God, if we don't have faith in God, then we're no different. How do we make it? The commentator said, faith is not the disease that afflicts the foolish. Faith brings freedom to those who find it. Faith is not blind devotion to the unknown. Faith is a seed which, when planted and nurtured, brings forth a harvest of hope. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He says, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. Faith is stepping out, not knowing. Faith is having faith in God, not knowing what the future of this church holds. We already know that in this country alone, there's no faith anymore. There's no loyalty anymore. Factories are not loyal to the employees. Employees are not loyal. We never know when they're going to shut down, and we never know what will going to happen, whether we'll even have a job or not, do we? None of that's for sure, is it? There's one thing that's for sure. God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And if he tells the birds, that he says, if I will take care of the birds and the birds are taken care of, how much more would he what? Take care of us. But do we have that faith? Or do we like to make our own decisions? James 3, 12 through 18, he's talking about, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Folks, if we're not the Christians that we're supposed to, living by the faith of God, we cannot produce other Christians. We cannot plant seeds. We need to see, just like the story of the little boy, he often escaped from a fruit tree out of his second-story bedroom window. And when his father decided to cut the tree down because it didn't produce anything, he snuck out one night with his friends, and they bought a bushel of apples, and they tied them onto the tree. And the next day, the father came in yelling, "It's a miracle! It's a miracle!" And the boy says, "What?" He says, "That tree that won't produce has produced. And what's more miracle is this, is that apples are on the tree, and it's a pear tree." Faith. Do we have that? You don't reap a harvest of sweet apples by planting sour grapes. Some of the most miserable people I've ever seen in my life are not non-Christians. They're Christians. And why? Why are we so miserable when we have the best thing in the world? It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. What about faith? Do we have it? Do we trust in God? Do we see seeds of love? Do we plant seeds of hatred? How do we plant seeds? Every day in our lives, we are planting seeds, aren't we? What people see in us during our days, not just on Sundays, but every day of our week. This is what he's talking about. We need to continually to plant seeds each and every day. You never know who you will touch. When I was living a life of sin away from God, my mother convinced me to go to the Coliseum to hear Billy Graham preach. That was one of the greatest feats that could ever happen. Like Billy Graham was really going to do something for me. So I agreed to go. She wanted me to work as an usher. And I said, nah, I'll just go. But mothers can be persistent. And I ended up being an usher. As it started, there was a little old lady, just barely could walk. I didn't think she was going to make it to her seat. So I walked over and I asked her if I could help her to her seat. She grabbed a hold of my arm, and buddy, you talking about a grip. She had a grip and she wasn't letting go. And I helped her back to her seat. And as I looked into her eyes, they just glittered. Her face was just as bright as it could be. And she had the biggest smile on her face. And she says, I just love to hear people that preach God's words. And I just love to see people that are serving God. Well, about that time, there was a big old lump in my throat, because I wasn't one of those guys that she was speaking of. I was there for one reason, and that was to get my mother off my back. Maybe she would leave me alone about God if I went. I never did see that lady. Never even knew her name. But as I look back on it today, I can say that lady was my angel. That was the angel that God sent to touch my heart. It wasn't Billy Graham. It wasn't my mother. But it was his special chosen person to touch me that day. As I listened, and I'll be honest with you, I know nothing of what he said. I've listened to him since, and I can tell you what he says. But that day I couldn't. I snuck out of the Coliseum, walked behind the stands, and I got on my knees, and I cried, and I prayed. Things didn't change a whole lot. I went back to work on Monday. We had all the people there that I worked with that were not Christians. Construction work is not the best place in the world for Christians. But it was a challenge. But you know, those same people that I had as a child was there when I came back. They wrapped their arms around me and they said, welcome home. Now I know one day I'm going to see all of them in heaven. I know that one day we will have a reunion. And I know that one day we will be singing praises to God. This morning I encourage you to sow seeds of faith and peace in your life. Max Lucado wrote these words, sowing seeds of peace is like sowing beans. You don't know why it works, you just know it does. Seeds are planted and topsoils of hurt are subbed away. Folks, we need to get back into seed planting business. We need to be planting seeds. We can come to church and get in this nice, comfortable building that's been freshly painted, the nice pews, the heat and the air conditioning as we need it is on. We can have quality instruments, voices to sing, words to preach. But if we don't take it all in and our lives don't change, it means nothing. You have wasted your time by coming here. And when we come in here and our lives are not changed, when we give our worship to God, we've wasted His time. God wants us to come and to leave changed. He wants us to come here and to get energized and to go out and to share, to plant seeds. Whether it's at the grocery store, a clothing store, a sports event, no matter what it is, people should see Christ in us anywhere, anytime, any place. And when we see that, we have planted seeds. We may not ever see those seeds produce. The Lord may take us home before that happens. But our job is not necessarily to reap it. Maybe it is to plant it. But in all things, give thanks to God for whatever He chooses you to do. I'll be honest. I wished I could sing. I love music. I just wished I could sing it. I can listen to it all day long, but I can't sing it. Well, if you trust in God, no. God just didn't give me that talent. But He gave me ears to hear good music. Not my music, but others. And today we've had some good music. The words have been tremendous. And if you listen to the words, then your music becomes magnificent. You see, you get two sermons every week. You get the sermon out of the hymnals. And if you listen to those words, they preach. And then we get the words out of this book. So you got two books in front of you every week that you can learn from. Two different methods of learning. One by music, which, by the way, have you ever listened? And then all week long you kept singing that song all week? That's God working within you. That's that message over and over again. And let me tell you, He's done it quite a few times for me. I needed it. Planting seeds. Are we planting seeds for tomorrow? Who will be the one that will stand here when I'm too old to stand here? Who will be in this choir loft when we're too old to do it? Who will be sitting in these seats when we can't do it? Nobody if we don't plant seeds. That's what He's called us to do. That's what harvest is all about. There is no harvest without seeds. Seeds have been planted, and we're ready. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank You for this day that You just